Mr. Nader, thank you for coming. I was wondering if you could speak a little more about the specific policies that you propose to remedy the situations of economic inequality and corporate control of the economy as president.
Well, there are a lot. One is you enforce progressive taxation. You're too many of the wealthy and corporations get these tax shelters, very elaborate, complex. They keep thinking them up. They're corporate lawyers. That's one way. The second is to provide a living wage. Nobody in this country should earn less than $10 an hour. You just can't live on anything like that, you see? And the third is universal health insurance, and that will alleviate some of the poverty. And the fourth is to leave Social Security alone. It's been working very well. It's indexed to inflation. And get rid of this Wall Street influence in Washington that wants to get their hands on billions of dollars of Social Security money. The Social Security Fund is extremely stable, and it's extremely secure for as far as the eye can see. It's premised on 1.7% annual growth. We're growing 3% over the last 100 years. So it's okay as far as I can see. And then finally, we need to tax things we don't like so we can tax things we do like less. And I mean, we need to tax polluters and we need to tax Wall Street speculators in tax transactions. Isn't there a sales tax here in New York? And there's a city sales tax, right? So you walk in and you pay a city sales tax? No longer. All right, but you have a state sales tax. What is it, 6? 8%. So you go in, you buy furniture, clothing, appliances, you pay that. Do you know Monday, someone in Wall Street can buy 10 million shares of General Electric shares and won't pay one penny for the stock transactions. A 0.5% tax on stock transactions will raise $170 billion in 1 year. And the more they speculate, the more they'll pay that 0.5%. I mean, that's 0.5%, not 7 or 8% on furniture or clothing. Yeah, I'm sorry. Yes.
Hi. My question is, just as the Green Party offers an alternative to the dichotomy between Democrats and Republicans, how can we bridge the gap between corporate and civic? Because I think for a lot of people here in the audience, it's not black or white. It's not one way or the other, because many of us are here because our tuition bills are being paid by stock investments, as are there many people, I think, who are people who have worked in the corporate world as well as in the community service sector as well. And I was wondering what sort of alternatives you propose, how to make the corporate world more humane or how to bridge the gap.
One way is you protect whistleblowers in corporations. So when they ethically blow the whistle, they don't get fired and intimidate others who would bring their conscience to work. A lot of the exposés of corporations like tobacco companies came from scientists and others in the tobacco companies who went to 60 Minutes or other recipients of their materials. And they should be more rigorously protected under the law. The second is we need alternative economic institutions. For example, in the inner city, where there's such rapaciousness by merchants, too many merchants and loan sharks and, you know, all that, we need community development credit unions, which will build economic institutions in the form of co-ops where people put their savings or their money in. They get their checks cashed without losing 3 to 5%. They get small loans, small car loans, small family emergency loans at decent interest rates. There are 400 of these credit unions. There needs to be 4,000. So there are a lot of ways to curb corporate power from intruding onto the civic arena, like getting them out of elections, soft money, like getting them away from dominating all the media. So we have our own radio and TV stations and cable channels, like developing more cooperative forms of economic enterprise. That can redress that balance. Even greater efficiency will reduce the power of these corporations. If we have more fuel efficiency, more energy efficiency, more solar energy, it will reduce the power of the giant coal, oil, gas, and uranium nuclear companies. So there are a lot of ways to shift power, which will increase productivity, efficiency, health, safety, and the rights of economic self-determination. as it lifts the standard of living. All these things should be studied at universities. Maybe they are at your university. I mean, there are a lot of models. Yes?
So this is going to be the last question due to time constraints.
Hi, Mr. Nader. Thanks for coming. As long as government has had the power to control businesses, businesses have tried to buy access to this power to twist the law to their advantage, whether through corporate welfare, subsidies, protected monopolies, whatever. And as long as government controls corporations, corporations will have an interest in controlling government. So my question to you is this. You propose to increase government regulation of corporations. Don't you think that this might increase bribery and corruption rather than decrease it by giving government more power and corporations more of a reason to buy it?
Would you apply that to street criminals and police precincts?
Excuse me?
Would you apply that principle of yours to police precincts and street criminals? That if they get tougher on street criminals, the criminals will bribe them and corrupt them.
No, I don't.
You don't?
Well, street okay. criminals don't have the size and the resources.
Oh,
and
sure.
Money and
the drug lords, you know, the drug peddlers and so on. They got lots of money. There are landlords that are street criminals. They may have their offices on the 10th floor. But they're violating building codes, seriously, jeopardizing tenants. There are loan sharks who've got a lot of cash on the side. They don't exactly report it all. My point is this, that there are lots of ways to curb corporate power. Trade unions are one. Strong consumer groups with access to the courts are another. Shareholder actions, if they were given the rights of ownership to control their management, which they don't have now. They have ownership rights to sell, but not to control the board of directors and officers. That's another way to control corporations. Government regulation, called law and order, if you wish, is a way to control. The antitrust laws is a way to control corporations. Quality competition from other companies can curb the excesses if that competition is allowed to flower. So there are lots of ways to do it. Consumer cooperatives, where people cycle their money in their own economic institutions. There are lots of ways to do it. But inescapably, we have to have equal justice under law in our country. And if politicians get bribed, they get prosecuted because the people are organized in institutions where they can make that happen. They can make that prosecution occur. So think a little bit more diversely and broadly on the ways to counteract abusive corporate power. But essentially, if we don't resort to the rule of law, we're going to be subjected to the rule of economic force and power by these corporations. So don't give up too readily on government regulation. It's government regulation that made your motor vehicles so safe that over 1 million American lives were saved since 1966 and millions of injuries prevented. It's de facto deregulation under Clinton in the Department of Transportation that allowed those Ford Explorers on Firestone ATX Wilderness tires to go and end up killing over 100 people here and even larger numbers abroad. I find on college campuses a very knee-jerk response to regulation. It's not textured enough. It's not empirical enough. It's too much Chicago School of Economics, which is an elaborate form of intellectual tautology. Anybody? I'm told that we have to, somehow they have to close the premises here. So I'm sorry. We have to conclude. We did get a late start because of the reasons you know. But thank you for a very memorable evening, and let's remember in November.